believe that is right. Please be seated. Well, good morning to you all. And as we say in the Punjabi Christian Fellowship, Jai Masiking, just another way of saying welcome in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's a pleasure for myself and my family to be here. Such a wonderful place to be in, and I'd really be grateful if you could show us round and show the children round later so they could understand exactly what all this is about. It would be really helpful for them to have that historical tour. Well, our reading this morning is taken from the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 19 to 32. Let us just pray before we turn and read the word. Our gracious, loving Father, we pray as we come to your word this morning. Your word is truth, your word is powerful, and your word changes lives. Speak to us through thy word. And Lord, we pray that you would guide and lead through the power of your Holy Spirit. May Christ be exalted in our midst, because we ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes him, and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. A story is told of a family in Armenia. And the mother and the father, they have a little child, their only child. And they get their child prepared for school. And they kiss their child. And the father says to his child, he goes, "Son, no matter what happens, I'm always there for you." And so the child goes to school. And the mother and father, they go shopping whilst their little one's away. And whilst they are shopping, they hear over the tannoy that an earthquake has taken place. The earthquake has happened in the vicinity of the school. The radio person goes and says that every building has collapsed, and he doubts very much whether there are many survivors. In hearing this, the father immediately gets into his car and he drives into the area of the school. And when he's there, he sees many parents who are already there, grieving for their children. When he gets there, this father, he immediately gets into the rubble, into the area where he feels that the classroom was, and he starts to remove the rubble. The other parents try to stop him. They're already laying down flowers. They're already crying. The emergency services are there. But this father, he continues, he carries on removing the rubble. Then the emergency services, they give up. They give up all hope. But this father pleads with them and he says, "Please, please continue." But they would not. He carries on late into the night, into the early hours of the morning. He continues. Even when everyone else feels that all hope is lost, he continues. Then finally, as he's moving the stones, he hears a little voice. It's the voice of his son. And the father goes, is that you? And the son goes, yes, father, it's me. And the father, he begins to remove even quicker the rubble. And the son goes to him, dad. He goes, there's 14 other children here with me. And so one by one, the father takes them out of the rubble. And they all come out. And then the father turns round to his son. And he said, son, how did you survive? How did you survive? And the son replied, he said, I told my classmates, my father told me this morning, no matter what happens, I'll always be there for you. So I knew you would come. My friends, that child relied upon the word of his father, a human father. How much more will our Father in heaven keep his word? Great is his faithfulness. This morning, we turn to that great passage found in this book. It's an amazing passage. It has even a greater story behind it than the one I've just told. It has a wonderful hymn, a note from your hymn book, it's there. Hymn number 87, I think it is. What a wonderful, wonderful verse. Verse 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We'll consider this passage in a while. But we need to understand something of this book. We need to understand something of the background and the context of this book of Lamentations. This book of Lamentations is written by the prophet Jeremiah. And he's known as the weeping prophet. It's a book that captures the destruction and the aftermath of Jerusalem in 586 BC. And by whose hands was that carried out? By the hands of the Babylonians during the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. And this lamentation is a poetical expression of grief and sorrow that has taken place. The destruction of this great city. It's almost been 10 years since the destruction of those two towers in New York, the time that we now call 9/11. And it's become that occasion of remembrance. Remembrance of what? That utter devastation. How many times have we watched when those aeroplanes have hit those buildings and the buildings coming crashing down and the great loss of life. And in this way, the Jewish people would be reminded of the destruction of Jerusalem, and that would be their thinking as and when this book would be read to them. They would be considering the destruction of Jerusalem. It was a reminder to them as often as this book was read to them. And he delivers a stern warning. Yet it's also, at the same time, a great book of hope. But we must first understand this lamentation. What is it about? What's going on here? You know, if you turn in chapter 1 of Lamentations and verse 1, it says this, how lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow is she who was great among the nations. This marvelous city of Jerusalem, the chosen place of a chosen people, sits as a lonely city, described as a widow, grieving, who was once great among the nations. That greatness. You go back into the Old Testament and you look earlier on and you see the glory days and you remember the time of King Solomon and you remember the time of the dedication of the temple and you go, wow, wasn't it amazing? How the presence of the Lord came. Wasn't it amazing? The glory days. But now, the glory had departed. Ichabod, what happened? What happened? Well, Jeremiah chapter 25. He spells it out. In chapter 25, verses 4 to 11, Jeremiah gives us the answer. Jeremiah tells us that the people of Judah disobeyed God. The Lord God sent His servants, the prophets, but they would not listen. They would not listen to the people. They would not listen to the prophets, should I say. Instead, what did the people do? They went after false gods. They mixed and exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And in Lamentations chapter 2 verse 14, it tells us how these people listened, how they listened to false prophets. They went after the material things. They went after the gods of this world. So what did God do? When the people had rejected Him, they had disobeyed Him, He had time and time pleaded with them, He had made it very clear what would happen to them in Jeremiah 25. He had made it very clear that if you disobey Me, what would happen? You'd be taken into captivity. He made it very clear. Chapter 1 verse 5 tells us, "For the Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy." The Lord used the Babylonians to discipline His wayward people. And yet the Lord, when He does this, Lamentations 3 verse 33, it makes it very clear, "For He does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men." We must not think of God being cruel and hard and nasty. God has done this as a father who loves and He's chastised His children. Chapter 1 verse 18 makes it clear. "For the Lord is righteous. For I rebelled against His commandment." Jerusalem even knows why God has forsaken her. They know that they have rebelled against His commandment, that He is righteous. And it would be a hard lesson. How the church today needs to heed the warning of the book of Lamentations. If we rebel against the Lord's commandments, if we become more concerned about the latest fads and fashions and embrace the things of this world, the gods of this world, the fashions of this world, and conform to the world, judgment will come. "My people have changed their glory for what does not profit," says Jeremiah. Revelation chapter 2 verse 4 and 5 says, "You have forsaken Me, your first love. Repent, or I will remove your lampstand." God will discipline His people. How lonely sit many churches today. Many converted to shops, mosques, gurdwaras, office space, even in this city. These places have become desolate, where God's people once sang His praises. Now they've become something completely different. And it makes you weep as you see things change for the worse. It makes you weep, and we can lament. Jeremiah, he laments at what he sees. Jerusalem is destroyed. He weeps because the people did not repent. Years later, Jesus Himself weeps of Jerusalem. "The one that kills the prophets and rejected Him, their Messiah." I wonder, will the church do likewise? Jerusalem is in ruins. There's famine. There's hunger. Even cannibalism. Prayers are not heard. When the Lord is no longer there, prayers are not heard. There is no more joy. Peace has departed. And chapter 3 verse 18, it tells us, And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Even hope has perished. What a terrible state. What a terrible situation. Yet, in the midst of all this, with all this, the prophet tells us there is hope. There is hope in the midst of even that situation. I wonder whether we find ourselves in terrible circumstances, terrible state. Maybe somewhat different from this, but we find that heaven is silent and things just seem so bad in our own lives. In chapter 3, it kind of even brings us right down to the rock bottom. It says in verse 20, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. It's like you've gone right to the rock bottom, to the deepest dark place. You've hit rock bottom. But it is here, in this place, within this terrible circumstance, at that darkest hour, it's like the crack of dawn. When the sun comes forth, it's the darkest hour before the crack of dawn. And the sun is about to break through. And then you come to chapter 3, verse 21. This verse is a hinge. It's the key verse that opens the door of hope. The door of hope is opening now. We've just come to the darkest place. Hit rock bottom. Terrible circumstances. Terrible state. And now we come to a verse that opens a door of hope. What does it say there? This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. The focus changes. When we've been looking at the terrible circumstances, oh, it's so depressing. It brings us into a state of worry. But when you recall God, when God comes into it, and you bring the greatness of God into it, and who He is, and all that He has done, the focus changes to trusting Him. Jeremiah began to recall the scriptures. Jeremiah begins to recall the greatness of God. Perhaps he remembers the life of Ruth. Things were bad before they get better. Death before life. Maybe Joseph into a pit of darkness before he becomes a prime minister. Things got worse before they got better. You know, when you look at things without God, when you look at things around you without God in it, you come to all sorts of ideas, all sorts of weird ideas. You come to some all sorts of doctrines of men and their ideologies and their positions. You come to all sorts of ideas. But when God is in it, you see things from a completely different perspective. Jeremiah says, your word was found, and your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. The word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This word of God, which people have tried to ban in nations, changes lives. This word of God is the instrument of hope. It's this word of God. You see, when God comes into the equation, through His word, there is hope. And this is what happens here first. We recall, through the scriptures, the greatness and the wonder of God. Now that God is in view, now we're in that position where we're looking unto God. We come to chapter 3, verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions, they fail not. You see, things are bad. But when you see from God's perspective, you see that He is merciful. When you don't see from that perspective, you see a hardness, you see something completely different. But when you see it from that perspective, from God's word, and you know the Lord, you see it, that He is merciful. Jerusalem is in ruins, but it is not consumed. God could have utterly wiped it off the face of the earth. He could have. He done that to the Babylonian Empire. He done that to the Roman Empire. But He has not. God afflicted His people out of mercy, to show them that they need Him, to show them that they need to call upon Him and to repent. Affliction has this way of exposing our real needs. It has this way of really exposing what our real need is, so that we would cry out to God. The psalmist says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." One person once said, he says, you know, we may not understand His hand, but we understand His heart. He does not afflict willingly. He's a loving Father who is merciful. You know, I remember many years ago, I was a young lad at the time, how I used to eat and sleep and worship football. It was such a temptation to me. It affected my attendance on the Sundays. You know, the matches would be on. I would want to play football on the Sunday. And I would want to just go off playing football. I just love football so much. And then I broke my leg in playing football. It was a real painful experience. As in, with crutches, first time I'd broken a bone, gone through new experiences. It was really bad. But you know, I look back now. I look back and I say the Lord was merciful to me. That broken leg gave me a clear break from the game that I worshipped so much and it's affected me so much. I look back now and I would say, was the Lord being merciful to me? Didn't see it at the time. But I do now. I can tell you of times when I ran into the middle of a road and a car would have hit me. It screeched and just stopped in front of me. It could have been, but for the Lord's mercy. For the Lord's mercy, I was not consumed. But I tell you something, my mother almost consumed me. Asian women have a funny way of showing their affection. I crossed over the other road and my mom gave me one mighty slap across my face. It was her way of showing me her affection. That she was really worried that, you know, I could have died. These mercies, they come to us because of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He has done for us at the cross. These are mercies that flow from the cross, and these mercies extend to us. Through His mercies, we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. God is compassionate. He understands our frame. He understands our real need. He feels our pain. You can almost sense it as you read the scriptures, that He is there. I'm not willing that any should perish. There's this willingness, this heart cry of God that you can feel and sense. He reaches out to us. He shows us who deserve His wrath, grace, unmerited favor. He gives. He gives. And He keeps on giving. He's willing to forgive us. He's willing still to accept us and receive us. He gives. All I have needed, Your hand has provided. He gives. We may not always appreciate it. God is compassionate, but we don't maybe see it in that way sometimes. His motive to us is good. His thoughts towards us, says Jeremiah, is for peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We're here. We continue to be here. because of God's mercy and His compassion. Each new day is a new beginning. And never forget that lesson that I learned in London. An old minister kept on saying, the Christian life is full of new beginnings. The Christian life is full of new beginnings. I've never forgotten that day. Each new day is a new beginning. We messed up, but the Lord is merciful. He's willing to forgive you and cleanse you. He's compassionate. Each new day we see His compassion. Isn't it so much like that fresh manna for each day? Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness. In Him there is no shadow of turning. God is no shady person. He is the God of all truth. What He says He promises to do, He will do. He does not change. Hebrews says that He is the anchor. He does not lie. He is the anchor of the hope that is set before us. He is faithful. And therefore I have hope. Hope that does not disappoint. Hope of heaven. This hope is based upon who God is. Great is His faithfulness. It's because of Him, not because of me. I often mess up. But because of His faithfulness. Because of who He is. He's my anchor for that hope that He set before us. God is my portion forever. He is all that I really need. He is my destiny. He is my hope. If a father in Armenia can keep his word, how much more our Father in heaven? Therefore I have hope in Him. So what must we do? What must we do? Chapter 3, verse 14. Let us search out and examine our way and turn back to the Lord. Do we need today repent? Do we need to repent and turn back to the Lord? If my people called by my name will humble themselves, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. The word today calls us to trust in Him. God appeals to us to trust Him. Keep your eyes on Him. Learn to understand that God would direct you in all things. To keep your eyes fixed on Him. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. To see in everything, almost to use the words of Spurgeon, that beeline that goes to God in everything. Whatsoever ye eat or drink, do for the glory of God, even in the small stuff. That in everything that we do, that we may keep our focus upon God. To develop that Godward orientation in everything. Keep on reading the Word of God. Keep on seeking His face. Be obedient to His commandments. Let Him be your portion. Brothers and sisters, there is hope in the midst of every crisis. It comes first when we give our lives over to God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to bring us to God. And through His mercies, we can say, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Therefore I have hope. Hope in the midst of terrible circumstances. Hope in the midst of a rioting city. Hope in the midst of all that is about us. I have hope. Amen.